All righty, everybody, you're listening to the Dennis Prager Show. A couple of times a year, I feature a doctor that I have come to trust and respect. Indeed, in whose hands I have placed a large measure of my own health. And he has become a physician to many of you, and has now become, has attained national prominence, starting with the show and then people realizing what a find he was. So I feel particularly happy, frankly, about his ongoing professional success because he saves lives every day, in my opinion. Dr. Michael Richman, R-I-C-H-M-A-N, is a cardiothoracic surgeon, and he has a clinic in the west side of Los Angeles. And he has, among other things, he has ways of preventing people from having heart attacks, strokes. I mean, there's no such thing as perfect, but he's as close to it as I think one can get. One of the things that he has noted here that has opened everybody's or nearly everyone's mind is the better way of understanding cholesterol, for example. And it is his famous, terrific analogy of cars and passengers. Folks, what blocks the most blocked highway in wherever you live? What blocks it? Passengers? The numbers of passengers? Or the number of cars? The answer, obviously, is the number of cars. It's irrelevant if there are six passengers in a car or one passenger in a car. It's the number of cars that block a highway, not the number of passengers. If a bus, after all, has 60 passengers in it, and we get rid of 59 cars, we have a lot less traffic. What you're measuring, and you tell me if I'm in any way getting this wrong, and I can because I'm a layman.
I don't need to say anything. You're a genius.
Well, okay. I wouldn't go. I think that anybody who's heard you as much as I have would get it just as well as me. But if I have it clear, I tend to be able to at least transmit it clearly. And so what has happened in traditional testing in cholesterol is they test for the cars. Excuse me, they test for the passengers, and that doesn't tell you anything. You may have a high passenger number, and it doesn't matter, and you may have a low passenger number, and it doesn't matter. What matters is the cars, and the name of those cars is lipoproteins. And that's what you have to be tested for, and for reasons that I must say, and I really do have to ask the doctor. I mean, it seems to me that unless we're both selling snake oil here, this should be as routine and universal as any test a human gets. Dr. Michael Richman, welcome to the Dennis Prager Show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back.
By the way, I want to tell you about him a little bit. I have a pretty good measure of people. Not perfect. I never claim that because I have been deceived on occasion, though not often. He is truly an idealist. This guy is not only capable, but he's also very, very, very intensely, single-mindedly dedicated to his patients and to his profession. So you don't have to react. I don't want to embarrass you. But I did want to say that because the more I know you, the more I admire your work. And so let's answer me this. If it's as obviously true what you're saying and I believe, why isn't this test for lipoproteins, which can save hundreds of thousands of lives, why isn't it universal?
You know, a lot of it has to do with cost. And even though you and I know it's a cheap test, we base stuff on studies. Now, you need to remember, a professor told me this during my residency. He said, Michael, 99% of the literature is garbage and I contribute to it. So
Wow. We
do base a lot of stuff on studies that are not valid. And day in and day out, we see in the media studies that I just sit there and shake my head and get crazed. And I'm like, I cannot believe they just said this. So, you know, there are guidelines and there have been numerous testing. And I think you put it wonderfully when you were talking about the cars and passengers. But the issue is it necessary in low-risk patients? For example, me. And I will tell you, probably as a population, there is no data yet to show in low-risk patients that it's any more beneficial. But there is data to show in moderate, moderately high, high, and very high-risk patients that this should be done. And the American Diabetic Association has commented on it, the American College of Cardiology. They wrote a consensus statement on it. And, you know, my obviously my personal views, in my experience, sometimes go against what the, quote, expert says of the guy. But I also take care of patients. A lot of people don't take care of patients and see it day in and day out. And there is an art to medicine. There is an art to taking care of people, and they don't realize. And just because you read it in a book, that may not apply to that particular patient.
How do people all over this country find out about this test? I want to move on, but I always push this test.
Well, it's called the NMR lipoprofile.
They're not going to remember that.
They can go to lab. I mean, it's funny. People have come into my office or called and said, I want my cars tested.
Right. That's what I would say.
So, you know, I mean, it's a lipoprofile. You want your lipoproteins tested. There are different ways. The NMR, which is basically an MRI of the blood, is probably the best. I think it is. And, you know, I'm not a consultant to the company. It's just this is, in my heart, what I believe is the best.
I don't want you to be in the position of having to criticize colleagues, but so that's not my – I'm not leading to that. But I do have to ask, why doesn't every cardiologist and cardiosurgeon or anyone who takes care of patients' hearts, why aren't they prescribing this test?
Well, cardiac surgeons don't do follow-up care.
Okay,
so
fine.
So that's right. Well, cardiologists, honestly, one of it has to do with money.
It's $99.
No, but this is not a tremendous moneymaker. You know how much time I spend with my patients, and you know what, just for a regular visit, what reimbursements are. And in this day and age, doctors see a lot of patients. They have to. They have no choice, but you can't spend 45 minutes with a patient or an hour with a patient. I do, because I feel it's my responsibility, and I'm not better than anybody else. So that, and then the main reason is lack of knowledge. They don't teach this in medical school. They don't. I just had the privilege of writing a guidelines, I mean, essentially a 21-page book with two of the most noted clinical lipidologists in the world. And, you know, we still get so much resistance from the other experts. And I just say to myself, what do they care? This works. It helps. It's not like you're radiating people. You're just drawing blood.
It's unbelievable. It is unbelievable. All right. I have you on often. Well, you're not on often. You're on regularly, but obviously, you know, 2-3 times a year. But it seems to coincide with a very public individual and some heart problem. What was the last one? The broadcaster. Tim Russert. The tragedy of Tim Russert, early death, and now former President Clinton going back into the hospital. What's the story there?
Let me just clarify one thing just about your cars and people, so they understand. The people is the cholesterol, and the cars are what drives the cholesterol around. So if you can't drive it to where you need it and where you don't need it, it's not going to go there. So the cholesterol actually has to be driven into the wall in cars. It just doesn't go into there. So that's – and it's not my thought. This is biology. This is not up for discussion. This is the way it is, and nobody argues with about the cause, the pathogenesis.
And the name of the car is?
A lipoprotein.
Right, as I said earlier.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, so
President Clinton.
You know, it's mind-boggling that I watch TV and I heard lots of cardiologists and experts say, this is expected at 5 years after a bypass. Well, I got to tell you, if that's the case, we shouldn't be doing bypasses, because that's not the case. And the data is 50% of bypasses, the veins are closed at 10 years, and we also use arteries, and about 92% of them are open at 10 years. So this isn't a, quote, normal thing. It happens, but it's not a normal thing.
All right, we'll
thing.
Get your take on why you think it did happen, on bypasses in general, and your calls to the cardiothoracic surgeon, Dr. Michael Richman, 1-8-PRAGER-776. I truly believe I'm saving some of your lives this hour, and that's exactly its intent. 877-243-7776. This is the Dennis Prager Show. Hi, everybody. Dennis Prager here. I think that this man saves lives with his advice and in his own private practice. For all I know, he has saved mine or lengthened mine. I hope to think it's more lengthened than saved. But I do believe that. And I just decided about a year and a half ago to share him with you. The cardiothoracic surgeon, Dr. Michael Richman. His lipid center is up at DennisPrager.com, the blog area. You could learn a lot and be in touch with him through that as well. There are so many deaths that seem to be avoidable, as well as, by the way, we talk about, obviously, the heart and circulation and blockages and everything related. But also diabetes. I think that because you care a great deal about preventing that too. Is that fair to say?
Right. I mean, diabetics are high risk for cardiovascular events. They just are. And this pre-diabetes, this so-called, remember we talked about insulin resistance and metabolic syndrome. Those are the people that are apple-shaped, not pear-shaped. It's an epidemic in this country. And you know, we need to get a better handle on that.
See, there are deaths that can't be avoided on Earth. I mean, right now we don't know how to prevent most cancers, obviously. I wish we did, folks, and if I knew somebody who did, I'd have him on or her on in a second. But isn't this the first killer? Isn't heart disease the number one killer?
Heart disease is the number one killer in the United States of men and women. One in two people die from heart disease, and one out of three, the first notion that they had a problem is sudden death. So they're dead.
Right, at which point the notion is not helpful.
Correct.
1-8-PRAGER-776, and let's take some calls from around the U.S. here, and let's go to Wendy in Tucson, Arizona. Wendy, Dennis Prager with Dr. Michael Richman.
Excited to be on.
Thank you. Excited to have you.
Thanks. All right. My question is about if the doctor has much experience with men or women, I guess, that have high blood pressure for an unknown reason in their youth, and they're healthy, at least I'd call mid-30s youth. Just last year, we discovered that my husband has high blood pressure. He is 35, and he exercises regularly and has always had a healthy life. He probably is about 10 to 12 pounds overweight and in no other weight, you know, no other health conditions. But apparently he has high cholesterol and high blood pressure. And when he had a visit with a cardiologist, then he said that they just see that sometimes. And there's really that no one knows anything why it happens. They just know they do. And the only solution is to go on medication for the rest of your life. And it just didn't reverberate well with me, but I don't know what else to do. Just wondering if...
Okay, let's get some thoughts from Dr. Richman.
First of all, it's nice to hear a physician that is telling you the facts. And most causes of high blood pressure, we don't know what it's from. Hypertension or high blood pressure is a major risk factor for heart disease, as is high cholesterol. And remember, this is a progressive disease. As we just said, one in three people have sudden death. So it's a slow progression. So you want to start young preventing it. And yes, hypertension needs to be treated. You know, exercise helps minimally, and high cholesterol needs to be treated. And I understand he's healthy or tries to be healthy. You also can't forget your genetic makeup. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah, and let's add something here. And, you know, and if I'm in any way wrong, you know, I want to be corrected. I don't only not mind, I want to be, especially where people's lives are involved. But there is a notion out there in this country that if you have high cholesterol, well, by golly, if you just eat right, you'll take care of it. it's usually just not the case. Is that correct?
That is the case. It's,
see, folks,
it's helpful. It's important. I mean, you always want to start.
No. Diet is important, but on cholesterol as such, it's mostly a genetic given. Is that fair to say?
The major component is your genes.
Yeah.
I have, obviously, as I've told you, I have vegans who have cholesterol through the roof. You know, and right. and I have a former NFL player who's just a specimen, and he has high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and he's in his 40s, and nobody can work out or take better care of himself.
Right, exactly. I mean, that doesn't mean that one shouldn't eat right. My argument is not don't eat right. I really do watch what I eat, but and if, even if I didn't, it wouldn't matter for this conversation. Just saying that to be consistent with what I'm preaching, that's all. But the issue is, don't think that, this is it. If I just jog and go on a very low-fat, low-cholesterol, no-saturated-fat diet, by golly, it'll work. It usually doesn't. Cholesterol is what it is for most people, and we have to lower it with usually some sort of drug. And I don't know, why do people resist that one? I don't know. Are there any side effects? I mean,
well, sure, there's side effects, but, you know, a lot of people still are on this drug company conspiracy theory, and you'd be,
oh, I see,
and you'd be surprised how much I get on WebMD questions that it's a drug company conspiracy, and there's no data, and I can tell you. There's irrefutable data that lowering cholesterol reduces cardiovascular events. And yes, it's by any means necessary. However, there's only few medicines where there's outcome data. In other words, just because Reggie Strice, remember we talked about, it's the perfect example. Don't take it. We don't know what's in it right now. It may lower your cholesterol, but there's no data to show it's going to lower your risk of heart attack or stroke. So the point is we need outcome data. You know, segue into President Clinton.
I was going to just ask. Go ahead. Yep.
You know, it is kind of mind-blowing to me. There is, you know, obviously his medical records through being president are public documents. And I have gotten a lot of it and seen the press conference that his doctors gave after his history and physical. But nobody seemed to take high cholesterol seriously with him. In 2001... they measured the number of people, like everybody does, and it was through the roof. So he was temporarily put on a really low-dose statin, which he had high blood pressure, he has a strong family history, and he has high cholesterol. Okay, so he is at least moderate risk and was not where he should be treated. And then they took him off it and said, hey, he's doing diet and exercise, and that's going to somehow lower it. And, you know, still, this was 2001. This wasn't like it's the Dark Ages.
Yep. All righty. Let's go to Los Angeles. We will actually. Yeah. No, we won't. Well, hold on, Mark. We'll get to you when we get back. My doctor here is Michael Richman. I believe he saves lives with his work. It's not an infomercial. It's just a man I have come to admire and trust. And we'll also talk a little bit about this doctor reimbursement thing. I am starting to worry about your profession. I really am. And there's reason to, as you'll hear when we come back on the Dennis Prager Show. Hi, everybody. Dennis Prager here. When I make a discovery in my own life that I think will help others, I try to share it with you. Michael Richman is one such discovery. He is a cardiothoracic surgeon in practice in Los Angeles and nationally recognized for his work as well. He has his own website,
lipidcenter.com.
Right. And it's, if you don't remember it, and obviously I didn't, just go to my website. And you should go to my website. Anyway, folks, every day we have what has happened on the show and your astrological chart. That's when we ought to start. We need to start an astrological chart on the website. Dennis Prager here. It is Dr. Michael Richman, and he is first came on and saved a lot of people and enlightened a lot of people, I think, with his lipoprotein test. The real way to measure cholesterol, in his view and my view, though my view is much less significant. Mark in Los Angeles, thanks for holding on.
Thank you. I have a question about cholesterol that's very close to my lousy heart, if you'll excuse the expression. I've had two heart attacks, first at age 50. I had very low cholesterol at the time and was in excellent, what I thought, shape.
Well, but that substantiates the doctor's theory that the measurements we're getting are useless.
Well, remember, it's not my theory. We know for a fact that 50% of the population who has, quote, normal, end quote, cholesterol does not. So, Mark, you could say that you had normal cholesterol. I don't buy it.
Well, genetically, I don't produce any HDL, I've been told. But here's my question. One of my cardiologists was telling me about certain types of cholesterol, I guess you'd call it lipoproteins. So this type doesn't actually adhere to the arterial wall. Actually, as it passes through the artery, apparently it causes pitting. It's kind of like they call it a cholesterol bomb in layman's terms. Can you tell me if you know something about that or what he's talking about?
I mean, I've never heard that. Any cholesterol that gets into the wall that is driven in by lipoproteins, that's how it gets in, is eaten up by a cell called the macrophage and then lays down the cholesterol and you start getting narrowing. HDL, the good cholesterol, does have some role in pulling cholesterol out of the wall, but it's negligible. And it's not the amount, it's how well it functions, the HDL. So it's not the number that's important, contrary to what everybody thinks. And we have no way of measuring how well the good cholesterol functions. But any of the cholesterol that gets into the wall forms a plaque, just the way it is.
Parker, Colorado, and Isaac. Hello, Isaac. Dr. Michael Richman and Dennis Prager.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I mean, I'm answering on his behalf. He's good, too.
Hey, I was just calling. I read online that you're supposed to take an aspirin or a little bit of aspirin every day to help increase your length of life, I guess, for a couple years. I was wondering what you think about that.
How old are you, Isaac?
Oh, I let him go. I'm sorry. He was 35, I think.
I take a baby aspirin a day, but that's not supported by the literature in my age group. I'm 44. And a 35-year-old, I mean, I would say there's no harm, personally. And it's a baby aspirin.
It's a baby. That's key.
But, yeah. You know, in your 50s and 60s, there's no doubt that it's necessary. And we have studies to show that, and there are recommendations. But it's a baby aspirin, 81 milligrams.
Did I ever read anywhere that a person actually who is having a heart attack or something happening to their heart that's bad at that moment, that an infusion of a lot of aspirin at that time is good? Or is that...
I think I told you the first thing the paramedics do when they come to your house is stick aspirin in you.
Okay.
They make you swallow aspirin because the blood cells, platelets, don't clump as much. So if you have a cholesterol plaque that ruptures, which is a cause of heart attacks, these platelets come to block the hole and form a plug. And if they're less sticky, and that's what aspirin does, it makes them less sticky.
Okay, once again, that test, and, you know, I know it sounds like an infomercial, except I'm not selling you anything. I'm selling you health as I, a layperson, have come to understand it. And by the way, the older I get, the more I trust common sense. What the doctor said earlier about so many of the, what you hear, studies being nonsense, is that not what I have told you, folks? There are two types of studies, those that confirm common sense and are right, and those that don't and they're wrong. Back in a moment. I'm Dennis Prager. Hi, everybody. You're listening to the Dennis Prager Show. Hey, maybe we'll have Dr. Richman join Prager University, Alan. I mean, you're the chancellor, and I'm just suggesting. As president, I don't want to make any demands. But I'll tell you, 5-minute course on prolonging your life couldn't hurt, as they say in New York. Couldn't hurt. Dennis Prager here, and I am sharing with you a doctor I profoundly respect. It's as simple as that. Dr. Michael Richman. And this test for lipoproteins is really what struck me as something so obvious once you understand it and so rarely done, that a lot of people with low cholesterol are having heart problems. And they wonder, gee, why? I had, you know, low cholesterol. And then you ask, well, were you measured for this lipoprotein, which is the container of the cholesterol? And it's the container that matters, because that's the blocker. Then people don't know what you're talking about. And his website is located at DennisPrager.com, LipidCenter.com. And let's go to your calls. Long Beach, California, and Mark, Dennis Prager. Hi.
Hello, Dennis. I love your show. Listen to it 3 hours a day. If it were on for six, I'd listen to it for six.
Well, that's very kind. If it were on for six, I would be in Dr. Richman's office every day with some heart problem.
Yeah, we don't want that to happen.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Dr. Richman, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, fine, thank you. That's why I'm calling, though. I've got a doctor in Los Alamitos that I've had for about 15 years, and I've got a cholesterol problem. I can't take cholesterol reduction medicine because of a liver problem. I got my liver's always elevated. But what he was concerned about was, and I was concerned about my arteries, and so forth. And he's very conservative, and it was a matter of him not recommending much until I said to him about my carotid artery. Maybe a problem. So I actually went to to the ultrasound, and I got an ultrasound on my neck, and they found that it was not a problem. But I get these things in the mail, letters in the mail about full body imaging, full body scans where they look from head to toe. And I talked to him about that, and he said, well, I don't recommend it. But I'm just curious, what is your opinion on that, on those full body scans where they show everything, your heart, your...
Right.
Okay.
Well, actually,
I'm curious, too.
You brought up two great points. Just quickly, elevated liver enzymes is no reason not to be on medicine.
Really?
Well, I take cholesterol medicine, and I don't need it. All my patients know. I just do. My liver enzymes went up a touch, and they still are. Unless you have active liver disease or cirrhosis, there's no contraindication to statins. I have many people who've come in, and that is one of the biggest fallacies. Okay, getting the body scans. No body scan is good. I want to particularly focus because, number one, it doesn't information as it may provide. It also provides false information. And what if you wound up and they saw a little spot in your lung that was nothing, and in order to identify it, they had to remove half your lung and said, hey, it really was nothing. Sorry. But I want to specifically go to calcium scoring, which you're probably talking about in your heart. And there was an excellent study just done. I think I got it yesterday. I read it. A real study that showed that 24% of people who have zero calcium in their arteries in their heart had greater than a 50% blockage. And I am not an advocate of calcium scoring. In fact, if you look at the American College of Cardiology guidelines, it says it may be used, in an intermediate-risk patient to make them a high-risk patient. Now, if you do particle testing, you see the cause of what causes atherosclerosis. And I personally am really not going to treat you any differently. And it is radiation. It's not – nobody should do it as a serial test every year to, quote, track your plaque. There is a
– Well, wait a minute. So – there are two separate issues here. One is that it may not see calcium that is there, but if a full body scan, and I have zero vested interest in this, but if a zero body scan, if a full body scan does detect a lot of calcium, isn't that troubling?
Well, first of all, the full body scan is different, okay? And remember how much radiation is involved.
Okay, that's fair. I don't know. How much? What is the answer?
Huge, probably equal over 1,000 chest x-rays, okay?
Wow. Okay.
And there is no doubt now that people who get serial CT scans have a probably greater 2% increased risk of developing cancer.
All right. Well, it's 2% and it's serial. What if you get it once in 10 years?
I don't know what it provides.
Well, that's my question. I'm asking you, what if they show you, uh-oh, you really, well, forget uh-oh. Sir, you do have a lot of calcium. For your age, you have 80% more than the norm.
Okay, well, just two things. Remember, I'm a cardiac surgeon. I've been in the operating room. I actually feel coronary arteries. Most of the plaques that cause the heart attacks and rupture are soft and buttery. Okay, they don't have calcium. As things progress.
Oh, all right. So you're saying even if they're accurate, which they are, they're not accurate about what matters. That's what you're saying. Calcium doesn't matter that much.
Well, calcium, yes. If you have calcified vessels, but I still don't know. How do you know that the calcium is actually into the wall? Maybe it's just over the top of the vessel. Okay? And your fingers,
you can't tell in a scan whether it's on the top or in?
They're just measuring calcium. You know, they're not measuring.
I thought it's visual.
Well, a computer's actually reading the amount of. This is different than an angiogram. This isn't an angiogram. You know, I mean, people are now getting CT angiograms.
So what is it that causes most of these heart attacks?
Well, unstable plaques, immature plaques. It's the 40 and 50% plaques that are more prone to rupture. They haven't been there a long time. They're not developed.
All right. Another segment coming up with Dr. Michael Richman. This is another example of why people subscribe to the show through Pragertopia. But if you just even want this particular hour, it's call 800-225-8584, 800-225-8584. His center's website is located at the blog section of DennisPrager.com. You're listening to The Dennis Prager Show with Dr. Michael Richman. Alrighty, everybody. By the way, this coming Sunday, I, Dennis Prager, will be... No, Monday. I keep doing that. This coming Monday, I will be speaking in Long Beach, a charitable event where I will talk about my trip to Africa and show some of my pictures. I think you'll really enjoy it. Go to rockofafrica.org, rockofafrica.org for information. Next Monday night in Long Beach. And I think our religious discussion, Christian-Jewish similarities and differences, I think, is it sold out? But if not, go to KRLA's website. And it's up at ours as well? Okay. It's going to be a terrific day Sunday. Dr. Michael Richman is a blessing, just a blessing. Let me don't hang up anybody, because if you do, I can't get your questions. So to save time and get as many of your questions in, I will read them from the list here. Okay. Tarpon Springs, Florida. Kevin, has there been any research into gene therapy for cardiovascular issues?
It's actually funny. A study came out yesterday from the Women's Genomic Health Study. That's legitimate. That's where they've looked at the genes in our body, and they looked at 19,000 people over 12 years, and they found that genetic testing is useless for predicting cardiovascular events. And I felt that way for a long time, other than for purely academic reasons. Family history, which we don't look at, is one of the strongest indicators.
John in Cleveland, Ohio, do doses of vitamin C above the recommended daily level help prevent heart disease?
Vitamin C has not been shown to prevent heart disease. So I'm sure you get the recommended daily allowance in your foods every day.
He's talking like a doctor, folks. He doesn't know how great vitamin C is. He went to medical school. Okay, next.
I just started taking vitamins, actually. I feel no better.
You won't feel. You'll just live longer. John, take your vitamin C. I'm a big believer in it. Okay, let's see. Warminster, Pennsylvania. Deborah, if I get that test for lipoproteins, would my doctor understand how to read it?
That's a real problem. I would tend to tell you no. Some preventive cardiologists get it. There are lipidologists now. You may be able to call the National Lipid Association and ask for a lipidologist in your area. But I would tend to tell you your average physician will not.
Steve, Northridge, California, is a test for lipoproteins different from the lipid profile test?
Well, it's called the NMR lipoprofile, so...
So it's pretty similar.
Right.
Okay. And sorry, Craig and Tom, I didn't get to ask your questions. Dr. Michael Richman, thank you so much for all your work. And again, his website there with his Lipid Center is up at DennisPrager.com. I really hope this has helped you folks. That's why I have him on periodically. I'm Dennis Prager. Thanks for listening.